Welcome to 2023 with Agnes Kunkel. In 2020, the world was hit by COVID-19. It was like a time machine. Find out what the world might look like in spring 2023 and how we will need to adapt. 2023, your window to a world beyond COVID-19. Xenia's father and mother reside mainly in the USA. However, they make sure to visit Xenia and the kids in Germany as often as possible. They usually stay for a couple of weeks, enjoy the big family time during the summer and winter break, then travel back to the USA. The kids especially are delighted with those semi-annual visits and await them every holiday. Preparations for these visits are usually discussed deeply between the Millers and Xenia's parents. This afternoon, Xenia receives a video call on her laptop from her parents.
Hello, dears. Our plane is next weekend.
Melanie and Christy rush over and start celebrating excitedly.
Yay! We are awaiting you, Granny and Poppy.
The grandparents called to plan trips with the kids during their stay. We want to go to the fun fair and a water park, say the kids. Finally, after the COVID restrictions have been removed, the kids are very happy to be planning their trips with the grandparents once again.
And don't worry, we are not forgetting your gifts, little darlings,
adds Granny. Now that the trips are planned, Xenia's parents want to make a deposit to the Millers for their upcoming stay, trips, and more gifts for the kids. Thomas tries to convince his in-laws that this is not necessary, but Xenia knows they will not let this go as usual. The grandparents do suggest,
What about using a digital wallet service?
They are so much easier to use. Do you use one already?
Thomas answers, saying that they are using Orange Pay, as it has been proven the easiest and most efficient.
I also know that the exchange rate in Orange Pay is much better than at the bank, says Thomas.
Oh, even we do not deal with the bank directly anymore,
is the grandparents' answer. Now everything is planned for next week. Both families say goodbye, and the girls wave at the screen.
Bye, Granny!
Bye, Poppy!
Till next weekend!
Dr. Ole Rummel, Ole, welcome to part two of this threefold episode of 2023. After this more general discussion about the impact of COVID-19 on central banks in Asia and all over the world, in this part, we will have a closer look on big tech. These extremely wealthy and powerful companies know so much about us and understand themselves as the forces thriving and shaping our future. Ole, it sounds a little bit as if two systems of high self-esteem and power are meeting, maybe even clashing here. Big tech, thinking in global dimensions, disruptions, and on the other hand, central banks think typically in a more national system of currency and economic stability. Do we have to watch out for these big tech companies? And what might happen if these companies get more ground during or after a pandemic like COVID-19?
Thank you, Agnes. Thank you for the question. I mean, this is you know one of the biggest questions we are faced at the moment. I would slightly change it and say that there are two and a half systems or two and a half players coming together. So we have, on the one hand, we have the big tech companies, as you mentioned, the sort of the Alibabas, the WeChats, the Apples. I mean, we know who they are, the Facebooks and so on and so forth. I think primarily they are up against national governments in the first instance, because these big tech companies, you know, they're sort of rules of competition rules, taxation rules. So there's a lot of areas where governments are affected, and then there are the central banks in the middle, because some of the issues having to do with the big tech companies also affect central banks. So we have two big bullies on either side, and then we have the little central banks in the middle getting it, being with pressure put upon the central banks from governments and from the big tech companies.
When we think now about this special crisis of COVID-19, I guess there is the big chance that we will have a somewhat slow recovery in the economy, let's say, in the core economy, maybe automotive and these important industries. And though this might have influence on the banking system, as when big companies maybe fail serving credits, then this might have a bad effect on banks. And is there a threat that these big tech companies could go and buy maybe banks that are in trouble?
Thank you, Agnes, for the question. Another very good and very tough question. I mean, I think it's well worth keeping in mind that a lot of these companies are enormous in terms of their influence and in terms of their power, but they're actually really not that big. And it's also, there's sort of all sorts of questions about, the nature of work. And, if you're employed and you work in an Amazon warehouse, what's the quality of labor there? Or, and Google itself, I mean, it's a big company, but I mean, Google itself is not that big. But they have this sort of outsized power. And to be honest, in terms of them buying a bank, I mean, that theoretically, that's obviously possible. And, I couldn't rule it out that someone like Apple, who already has the Apple Pay payment system, sort of follows it up either by creating its own bank or buying a bank. However, there are certain obligations that come with either buying a bank or creating a bank, which is, again, sort of competition. Would a government allow a big tech company to take over a big commercial bank? What is the business rationale for taking over, or can the big tech company make a good rationale for taking over a big bank? You would have to, I mean, there's a reason why there is a banking license. Banking licenses aren't cheap. You need to be a licensed bank. You need to have management that is what's known as fit and proper. So the authorities actually look at managers at banks, whether they have the right qualifications for the job. And, there are concerns for society as a whole. We know that some of these big tech companies have been very cavalier about keeping private data and the use of private data. So the idea of one of these companies owning a big bank and having access to our private banking information, I know fills some governments around the world, makes them very uncomfortable. Of course, it's in the nature of our free market system that if they wanted to buy a bank and they have the means to buy a bank, they can buy the bank. But is this something that's sort of really in the public interest? I don't know. I mean, this is, no one has tried it yet. But I would feel, personally, I would feel pretty uncomfortable having a bank that belongs to one of the big tech companies. I know that I probably didn't answer your question, but this is probably the best I can give you right now.
Yeah, you put the very important point of where is the rationale behind buying such a bank. The rationale could be to tear it apart, to keep maybe the client base, the customer base, and maybe to shut down all the, as you said, maybe Google is by the amount of employees a small company compared to some maybe big branch and commercial banks. But when you say, okay, I tear it apart, I sell the commercial part of serving industry clients, I sell to someone, I close all the branches in the field, and I keep just the important information part and the maybe flow of money from my Alipay or Apple Pay or Google Pay or whatever to some other banks. No?
Indeed, because I mean, you would give them even more power if in terms of them owning a big bank and having all that information readily available. I mean, what are they going to do with that information? I mean, most likely this is how many of these companies make their money, is by monetizing data, yeah, monetizing information, selling that information. I agree with you that they would be interested in the customer base and use that for some purpose. But you know, why should a computer company that makes computers and phones why should they own a bank? I can just about see an argument if, say, for someone like Amazon that deals with sort of online merchandise, online shopping, or Alibaba or someone like that. But you know, but someone like Facebook, who's you know fundamentally a communication system, what would they do with a bank acquisition?
Maybe promote their Libra idea.
And I was just thinking that. And I mean, if you remember their white paper, which I think came out in April of this year, they did say that what they want to do is making the transfer of money as easy as sending a text message abroad. So there may be some similarities between WhatsApping our friends and family all over the world and sort of the WhatsApping of money across the world. But it's sort of it's a big stretch to me. And again, it seems to me like, you know, it's one of these things, and these big tech companies have run out of other things to do, and they need, you know, sort of a new market, a new business model, and finance seems to be a popular new area to expand into. I mean, they've expanded into all other areas. So what remains is the finance.
China is on the forefront on these Alipay, WeChat, and so on. Is there some restriction from government side for these companies?
There is a reason why these companies grew so quickly and grew so rapidly and became so big, which is that, you know, I won't deny the fact that initially they addressed a lack of existing technology. So credit cards were never big in China. So these companies saw an opportunity to fill a hole, so to speak, to fill a gap that existed in the Chinese market. And they did this really well. They did this really well on the back of their database, of their client base. So both in the case of Alibaba on the online shop, and in terms of WeChat on the Tencent phone network. So they had an existing database, and they grew very quickly. And you know, my hat off to them for their growth in terms of identifying a market opportunity. I think at first the Chinese authorities were quite happy for them to fill those roles, to provide these services. There's also, and we'll probably have a chance to talk about Wirecard either in this podcast or in the next podcast, you know, sort of the having a national champion or having an international champion, which became a source of pride up until last year. And I think pretty much a year ago or so, maybe a little bit more, I think the Chinese authorities realized that these companies are really... It's the wrong word to use, but they're really monsters. They're monsters in their own market, and they're sort of increasingly becoming very big players in other countries as well. So you can use Alipay in Malaysia. I understand from you that you can use Alipay in Germany.
Some chains, especially in the where you have this. Beauty stuff for tourists, then there you can, some of these chains started to accept Alipay here in Germany. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's been a global expansion of Alipay, which by extension, you know, it's an expansion of, it's an illustration of China's might and China's power. But these institutions have grown very big, very quickly. I believe it's Alipay who has started to offer financial services, and they have an enormous portfolio. I don't quite remember how big it is, but they have a sizable portfolio, I think, of either insurance products or pension products. These companies are increasingly raising important regulatory issues for Chinese authorities. And there was some attempt last year to put some brake on the expansion of these companies last year by the Chinese authorities.
And when we come back to our central idea of COVID-19, what will COVID-19 cause in these markets? Then I understand you that, of course, we will see more online, and this will help these big tech companies, but there is not, you would not expect some moves or active moves into the banking system.
Agnes, I have to tell you, I'm pretty old-fashioned in this regard. And having lived in many different, in a number of countries, having experienced different banking systems, I don't quite trust. I mean, that is the wrong word. But I mean, how do these players operate? They leverage off the database that they have of you. They know your shopping habits. They know what you like to read. They know what you like to buy. They have some idea of how you pay. Do you pay on time? Do you pay in full? So they have all this information available from you, on the basis of which they use some sort of artificial intelligence, machine learning algorithm to determine whether you are a good credit risk or not. Maybe this is the future of banking, but to me, the role of banks is to identify how good a credit risk you are. Mm-hmm. And when the bank gives you a loan, it's to monitor the repayment of the loan or making sure that you repay the loan. I just don't know how this is going to, you know, whether this will scale up to the universe of an Alipay or, I mean, any company. I don't want to single out only the Chinese companies in terms of A, giving you a loan, whether this algorithm that they have, you know, sort of is the best way of identifying you as a credit risk or not, and then monitoring. I mean, to me, as I said, I'm sort of old fashioned. There's no human involvement in this. You know, if I have a question, I don't know who I would talk to. I would probably talk to some call center somewhere where all my information is on a screen, or I talk to one of these bots about my loan. And I mean, is this, you know, this may be fine, but what if something goes wrong? What if, you know, there's an error in the payments, like in your little story that the person hasn't been paid. There was a glitch in the system, yeah. Or there was a hack. Uh-huh. You know, I don't want to know how many times per day these big tech companies are attacked by sort of hackers. Uh-huh. I mean, obviously the same is true for sort of traditional banks, but you know, I would like to think that the human touch matters.
It remembers me on a story from my life. We had a local bank here in the little town where I'm living, and it was very well organized. It was not very big, but it was very well organized. And we have this system, as you perfectly know, from these Sparkassen, which are in these regional organizations. And interestingly, the organization above, it was not integrated, was not so well run, and it was decided we have to merge. So our little nice, very well organized little bank was merged into this bigger structure, and the bigger structure didn't work, so it was merged again into the Munich Sparkasse. And when I'm now trying to reach out for my account manager, then I am in the hotline of the Munich Bank, and someone tells me, and if I'm lucky, I am transferred back to my person here in the local town. And if I'm not lucky, then I am in the loop in the hotline. So, but I understand now, of course, when you think about this fascination of the finance sector, when you are a big trading company like Alibaba, like Amazon and that stuff. Of course, when you have means to bring via credit, consumer credits, your customers to buy more would be nice. Mm-hmm. And if you are able to draw the interest from that loan, and by the way, you are maybe or think you are in a better position to rate the risk of the loan by your power, then of course there could be a fascination for stepping into finance, and maybe this fascination was the idea behind Facebook talking about Libra, as Facebook has, in contrast to Alibaba or Amazon, big threats in their normal business model. As you maybe remember, there was some sort of strike against Facebook, doing no ads on Facebook for a few weeks or so, for I don't understand what there was behind. But I guess the big fear was, will they come back, as maybe see the effectivity of ads on Facebook is not so big as at the moment people think.
No, I mean, I mentioned this rideshare company Grab. Mm-hmm. So they're all about, I mean, they started off as a rideshare company. Mm-hmm. There's a similar company in Indonesia called Gojek. Gojek is now starting to offer loans to their drivers.
Because
the drivers are all in these rideshare apps, drivers are being rated. So, you know, they get between 1, 0 to 5 stars. So if you're a good driver and you have a very high rating, that's sort of a good sign. And this company will now give you money, will give you a credit to buy a new car. So this is sort of, you know, a win-win, a win-win situation. You know, it fits really well together that an app or a company providing, you know, it drives will allow you to buy a new car, and you have all the information available. You know, you have the feedback from the customers. How much money does the driver bring in every day? How many hours does he work per week? And all of this information.
For big tech or for tech companies, let's say, established in other areas and industries, really these new artificial intelligence stuff and rating stuff really might make it that they have an easier way to enter the financial market. And I'm very curious what we will see in the next years and what may be this shift to online that's in any case caused by COVID-19 may make it happen that we see new players in the financials area.
Yes and no. I mean, I think, and again, especially in my region, there are some different approaches, and there are different approaches in Europe as well. So some countries are much more positive about these companies than others. For example, Switzerland is quite keen on these companies. The ultimate step is under current regulation, and I will return to this point in a minute. The ultimate step under current regulation is whether these companies accept a deposit. Will that regulation have to change? Is the bank of the future very different from the banks that we've had for whatever 800 years or you know, this sort of system of a bank where we first had in medieval Italy whenever it was in 1200. I mean, you know, this sort of system of a bank as a deposit-taking institution, maybe regulation is too slow. Regulation is lagging behind. Regulation has to catch up. But this is, I mean, this is a problem that has been with us for many years, which is, you know, what is the balance? How do you draw the balance between these big tech companies that may be beneficial to society? When do we know, or how do we know that they've crossed into activities that are not beneficial? So on the one hand, you want these companies to do what they do, and they're very good at it, and the public demonstrates that these services are highly valued. But at some point, you know, these companies overreach and, you know, they may go into areas that are not appropriate or where they don't have the same expertise. But you don't want regulation to be heavy-handed. You don't want regulation to be too tough. So far, regulation has drawn a very fine line. Maybe regulation has to be tougher. Maybe the boundaries of what is a bank and what isn't a bank have to be redrawn. Maybe we should have a broader definition of a bank as sort of, you know, any entity offering financial services of any sort.
That would be, Ole, a wonderful bridge to our part three, as we now have discussed in part two of this COVID-19 and central banks about these big companies, big tech, Apple Pay, Alipay, Amazon, and these type of companies, as we wanted to do or to have a look on the dark side of the system and talk about maybe fraudulent systems, money laundering, and small fintechs flowing under the radar of regulation. And as you just mentioned, what is a bank? Is a bank an institution that accepts deposits? And what is the wallet when the ice cream shop accepts a wallet or creates a wallet? Is he then taking, is it a deposit? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I'm curious to hear from you in our third part, talking about the COVID-19 and fintech, and what is a bank and what do we have to regulate and what is the downside, especially fraud, money laundering, and maybe other criminal activities in the banking system. So thanks so far, Ole.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to 2023. To get in touch with us with your comments or ideas, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, just email hello at 20-23.earth. You can find even more material, including transcripts of our interviews, on our website at 20-23.earth. Please keep in mind, the content of this podcast is our opinion. We work hard to get our facts right. However, if you find something that can be corrected or improved, please email us at hello at 20-23.earth. If you haven't already done so, we'd be grateful if you would subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you happen to listen. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and there will be springtime in 2023.